Hi, everyone, and welcome to English for You. I'm Aaron.
And I'm Mike.
And today we're talking about Greek mythology.
My favorite mythology.
Oh, okay. Why is it your favorite?
Because I don't know any others.
I'm sure you know the Norse mythology.
Oh, yeah. Odin, Thor and, Ragnarok, Loki. Yeah. Most of that's from Marvel movies.
Right.
Now that I think about it.
Well, I'm assuming a lot of people out there now today have a lot of knowledge about Greek mythology from movies as well.
That's true. They've made lots of movies based on Greek mythology. I guess the Clash of the Titans movies too long ago were based on Greek mythology. And a lot of the gods, right? Mm-hmm. Zeus and Hera, Aphrodite,
right.
Apollo, people like that. They're familiar.
They show up in a lot of books.
Sure,
and
absolutely.
Stuff.
If you need to have a story with people in small clothes and waving swords around in sandals.
Yeah.
Greek mythology is a great place to go for that kind of thing. So what are we going to be looking at today?
Well, we're actually going to do our literature article today.
Oh, okay.
It's a book called The Hidden Oracle.
Now, in my classes in Greek mythology, I remember oracles, but not a story called The Hidden Oracle. I don't remember that
one. I assume this is a modern story, a modern storytelling.
Oh, really?
Which I'm sure you'll find out with the first sentence when we get started here in a second.
Sounds interesting.
Let's check
it out.
Reading.
The Hidden Oracle. Apollo lands in a large dumpster with a crash. In a fog, Apollo looks around, trying to figure out where he is. The only thing he can remember is that his father Zeus is mad at him. For punishment, Zeus has made Apollo mortal and sent him to Earth as a teenage boy. Apollo looks around and finds his wallet. An ID card confirms his human identity, Lester Papadopoulos. Unfortunately, two thugs spot Apollo's wallet as well. As the thugs threaten Apollo, a girl named Meg McCaffrey throws fruit at them, scaring them off. It turns out that Meg is a demigod. She needs Apollo's help to get to Camp Half-Blood, a camp for demigods. In return for saving Apollo, Meg claims Apollo's service. Apollo now has to perform tasks for Meg until his debt is paid off. Apollo's first task is to get both of them to Camp Half-Blood. To do this, he turns to the demigod Percy Jackson for help. It takes a while to persuade Percy, but he finally agrees to drive them to the camp.
Okay, so we're going to start today's article finding out about one of the gods in Greek mythology. And here it says, Apollo lands in a large dumpster with a crash.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
What?
A large dumpster.
A dumpster.
Mm-hmm.
Like a big garbage can they have behind a restaurant or something?
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they didn't have those in ancient Greece.
Nope. Which is why you can see this is a modern story featuring one of the ancient Greek gods.
So the ancient gods come to our modern time.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yep.
Okay.
All right, so we see that this story is going to be based on Apollo. Now, Apollo is one of the Greek gods, and he's actually just come down to Earth. He's landed in a large dumpster, which is a large metal trash container. Now, you often see these, like Mike said, behind restaurants, behind large buildings, behind apartment buildings. And you'll notice that it's spelled with a capital D, and that's because it's a trademark noun. So
is it?
It is.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, the company called Dumpster owns this noun, and so we have to spell it with a capital D. Another example is Frisbee.
Or rollerblades.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't know that. Anyway, so he just lands in a big garbage can. And of course, if you're a Greek god or if you're a big garbage bag and someone throws you in a big metal garbage can, it'll make a loud noise. And that's why we talk about it lands, here he lands with a crash. Now, to crash, the verb means to, you know, hit together very hard, like two cars might crash into each other. But that noise that they make, that large, that loud banging noise or something, we would say that is a crash.
That's
so
right.
Did you hear that crash outside the window or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
It means basically you heard a loud noise, maybe caused by cars hitting each other, or maybe just caused by someone dropping a large heavy piece of metal or something on the ground. Lots of reasons to hear a crash, but it usually means there's been an accident. For example, we heard a crash and ran to the window to look outside.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just a Greek god landing in a garbage can. Nothing interesting.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Greek god. They don't land in garbage cans every day.
No.
But,
well, they do at my house.
Oh. Okay. Well, Apollo's not used to it, which is why here it says, in a fog, Apollo looks around trying to figure out where he is.
Hmm.
Now, we used this phrase, in a fog, and that's actually today's shortcut for you.
Yeah.
So we're going to take a quick break to learn more about it now.
Shortcut for you.
Take a look at this crime scene, Watson. Tell me what you see.
There's a broken statue and a dead body.
Correct. If I'm right, these two things are connected.
I just don't understand how, Holmes.
My, Watson. You're really in a fog today.
Yes, the fog is getting thicker. Maybe we should return to Baker Street.
Try to keep up, Watson. If someone is in a fog, they are in a confused situation or state.
The fog has cleared, and the fog means 处于迷惑、困惑的状态之下。
Ah, so you see it now.
Yes, the dead man broke the statue, but it fell on him and killed him.
You're still in a fog, Watson, but never mind. We must head to the British Museum. That's where we'll find our answers.
Okay, so in a fog basically just means he's really confused.
That's right. Mm. I mean, he's just landed in the modern world in a big metal garbage can. So he's trying to figure out where he is, as anyone would be.
Mm-hmm.
To figure out, this phrase basically means to find a solution, to find an answer to a puzzle, a mystery, a problem, a question, something like that. For example, I can't figure out how to finish this Rubik's Cube.
Oh.
I have one red cube on the, you know, white side, and I can't get it in the right place. I can't find the answer to this puzzle.
Some people are really good at that, and I'm not one of them.
Nope.
All right. Well, here's he's in this garbage can. He's looking around.
How did he end up here?
Well, we're about to find out. It says the only thing he can remember is that his father, Zeus, is mad at him.
Well, that's not good.
You don't want Zeus to be mad at you.
No, that's his father. That he's the king of all the gods. And
in Greek mythology.
That's right. Mm-hmm. He's also known to be very difficult.
Right.
He makes life difficult for people if they make life difficult for him. He's kind of like Trump.
Yeah,
I guess in that way. You don't want to make him mad because he's just going to do something crazy to you. Anyways, we also read, for punishment, Zeus has made Apollo mortal and sent him to Earth as a teenage boy.
That sounds terrible.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. So Zeus was angry with Apollo, obviously, because this is his punishment. Now, a punishment is basically some kind of penalty, some kind of action that is put on a person for bad behavior, for breaking the rules, all right? If you cheat on a test at school, you might get a serious punishment from your teacher, all right? Or for lying to your parents. In our example sentence, for lying to his parents, Jake's punishment was no cell phone for a month.
That's a long time.
That's a long time. He broke a serious rule, and so this is the effect. This is what happens because he broke that rule. So that's his punishment.
All right, well, Apollo's punishment is a little bit different than Jake's.
His parents are a little bit different, too.
Right. So Zeus has made Apollo mortal. Now, mortal means that you're not able to live forever. So, for example, humans are mortal. All humans will die eventually.
What? Yep. We will?
Sorry to break the bad news.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. But in most religions, now, not all religions, in most religions or mythologies, gods are immortal, which means they can live forever.
Yeah, immortal. So gods are immortal. Superheroes, right, are often immortal. James Bond seems to be immortal.
He's been going for a long time.
He's been around. He looks different every few years, too. It's funny that way. Anyways, let's get back to Apollo. So Apollo has now been punished. He's been sent to modern times, and he's also just a normal person. So I guess he also doesn't have any sort of godlike powers.
Not at the moment. No, I mean, he still can do some things, I think, in the story, as we'll see later.
But this is a very different life for him.
Right.
So the next thing we read is that Apollo looks around and finds his wallet.
Okay.
Well, at least he's got a wallet. Hopefully he's got some money in there.
Well, I hope so.
And he does find something in the wallet, something you wouldn't really expect.
Well, I mean... in a wallet, you usually find an ID card.
That's true. Maybe not in a god's wallet, but in a normal wallet.
Okay. Yes. Well, remember, like, now Apollo is a normal person. The sentence here tells us what's in his wallet. It says, an ID card confirms his human identity, Lester Papadopoulos.
Excuse me.
Quite a Greek name.
Papadopoulos. They couldn't let him keep his first name?
Well, I don't know.
Apollo Papadopoulos?
I think he might arouse a bit of suspicion.
That's true. Yeah, it's an unusual. It's a cool name, but it's an unusual name. But Lester Papadopoulos sounds pretty normal. Actually, I went to high school with an Andrew Papadopoulos.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he was a Greek. Oh my gosh. Lots of things to think about. But this is his identity.
Right. So an identity is someone's name or basically just who they are, essentially. So an ID card is going to say, it's going to give clues to a person's identity. It'll include a name, a birthday, an address, important information who tells you who that person is.
That's
basically.
Right. That's what the ID is, an ID card. It's your identity card.
Right. And here in an example sentence, we could say, police are still trying to figure out the identity of the jewel thief. They don't know who the thief is.
All right. Well, while Apollo is sort of figuring out where he is and looking at what's inside his wallet, something happens and it's not good. We know that because it says, unfortunately, two thugs spot Apollo's wallet as well. Oh, yeah, I guess he's kind of in the alleyway
he's kind of near a dumpster.
Right, a dangerous part of town. So something bad happens. And the adverb unfortunately is sort of like sadly, too bad, bad luck. Something bad is coming after the adverb unfortunately. For example, I wanted to go to the beach, but unfortunately, it was raining. That's the bad thing, and it stopped me from going to the beach. For Apollo, this is bad because he might get bothered, attacked, or put in danger by these thugs.
That's right.
A thug is not the kind of person you want to run into.
Especially in a dark alley.
In a dark alley.
With your wallet out.
That's right.
Yeah, a thug is a noun, and it's a violent person, and it's usually someone who beats people up for a purpose. So, maybe these guys are kind of walking around looking for wallets to steal, and they say,
for tourists with lots of money or something. So it's a robber, it's a criminal, it's a bandit, it's a mugger.
Right.
You might also call them a mugger or something like that. Basically, they'll do street crime and often beat people up or hurt them and run away with their stuff. But so Apollo's in a bit of danger. I don't know if there's a policeman around or something like that, but it seems there is a bit of help. It says, as the thugs threaten Apollo, a girl named Meg McCaffrey throws fruit at them, scaring them off.
Ooh.
These aren't the most dangerous thugs in the world.
Maybe you're being pelted by really large pineapples.
True. Or maybe they're wearing white shirts and she's throwing like old tomatoes and they don't want to get their shirts dirty. Anyways, they're not the most dangerous guys, but they were threatening Apollo. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty serious. To threaten this verb basically means to promise harm or something bad to a person. You haven't done it yet, but you're saying, ooh, I'm going to get you. One day you're not going to be looking and I'm going to hurt you or I'm going to do something bad to you. So you're sort of promising in the future that something bad will happen to that person and you might be doing it to them. It's, of course, not nice to threaten people. It can be illegal to threaten people too. You know, so it's certainly a bad behavior, a bad action to do. But it happens, especially maybe in a family, as we read, Megan threatened her little brother after she found him sneaking around her room.
I'm pretty sure I've done that to my sister.
He was trying to read her diary or, you know, something like that. So she said, if I ever catch you in here again, I'm going to tell mom or I'm going to kick you or, you know, something like that.
Right.
To sort of warn him that if he doesn't do something now, something bad will happen later.
Okay, well, let's find out a little bit more about this Meg character. Mm. She saved Apollo here.
Uh-huh.
All the thugs have gone. And here in the article it says, it turns out that Meg is a demigod.
What?
So now...
What town is this?
Yeah, I'm not really sure, actually.
Wow.
That's a fancy New York, probably.
Yeah, amazing.
All right, so a demigod in Greek mythology is half human, half god. Now, we know this because the prefix demi, D-E-M-I, means half. So that means one of Meg's parents would be a god, and the other would be a human.
Ah.
And in the book, at this point in the book, at least, we don't know who Meg's parent is.
Interesting.
I think we do find out later. I'm just not sure it's mentioned. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. A lot of people might know Hercules or Heracles, as he was also called. He was a demigod, right?
Yeah.
I think his father was Zeus, and his mother was a human, was a normal woman. So that's why he was half a god. And they made a Disney movie about him a little while ago. Some people might have seen. Anyways, this is interesting. Meg has helped Apollo, but now it seems that she needs help too. Mm. It says she needs Apollo's help to get to Camp Half-Blood, a camp for demigods.
Okay.
So maybe they can team up and help each other.
Yeah. Well, okay, so now we're going to get to a bit of an interesting section here, an interesting sentence. There's a couple phrases we need to talk about. It says, in return for saving Apollo, Meg claims Apollo's service.
Hmm.
Now, that's a bit confusing. First, we'll talk about the phrase, in return for. So when you do something in return for another action, you are doing it as a payment or a reward for something. So, for example... in return for putting out the fire, the firefighters received a medal. So the medal is an award and a way to say thank you for doing this job. Now, we could also say as an example sentence, in return for helping me move, I bought my friends pizza and beer. A nice thing to do for your friends there to say thank you.
That's right. Often when someone does us a favor, we would like to do something, you know, in return.
In return.
That's absolutely right.
Yeah. Now, we also saw that Meg claims Apollo's service. Now, this isn't a phrase we use often in English. It may be a bit confusing. So when you claim something, you say that something such as money or property is yours and that you have a legal right to it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here what this is saying in the book is that as a demigod, Meg has the right to make Apollo, who is now human, do things for her. That's the service.
Okay.
Because she saved him. So she has more status than Apollo does right now as a demigod, which doesn't usually happen. And because she did this thing for him, now she can say that he has to do these things for her.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So yeah, basically if you do something nice for another person, that person... you can say to that person, I did something nice for you. Now you must do something nice for me back. It's kind of an old-fashioned way
of looking at
doing
things.
Yeah. But, you know, maybe a knight would say that to another knight for saving him in a battle or something like that, you know. So it's a way of paying back your debts no matter what kind of thing you owe another person. So as we read, Apollo now has to perform tasks for Meg until his debt is paid off. off. So he's got to basically be her servant and do whatever she wants him to do until, I guess, she feels that he's done enough to pay her back for saving him from the thugs. Because
right.
he could have been beaten, he could have been killed, but she saved him. But so now he's got to pay her back or pay his debt off. When you pay something off, basically you're paying back a person, right? This is often an idea that we might have when someone borrows money from you. If it's a lot of money, they might pay you off slowly, right? If
right.
I borrow money from Aaron, I might borrow $5,000 and I'll say, I'll pay you back $1,000 for 5 months. And if I give her the right money after 5 months, I will have paid off my debt. I will
right.
have fulfilled my debt. And now everything's back to zero. Now we are even.
Right. And of course, debt often just means the money that you owe people.
Mm-hmm.
However, in this case, it's talking about an obligation.
An action
that you owe somebody.
There you go.
Okay, so Apollo's first task here is to get both of them to Camp Half-Blood. That's what he has to do first.
Okay.
And to do this, he turns to the demigod Percy Jackson for help.
Percy Jackson.
I bet we all recognize that name.
Absolutely. Isn't he related to...
I can't say I know.
He's related to Poseidon.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
I think his dad might be Poseidon, the king of the oceans and the seas.
Right.
Anyway, so Percy Jackson's involved. Now everything makes sense. But it seems here that they're getting his help, right? They need Percy Jackson's help. Of course, they're turning to him for help, but even the phrase turn to means to help someone.
Right. So when you turn to somebody, you actually just, you want that person to help you in some way.
You go to them for help.
Maybe you want advice, maybe they help you solve a problem, that sort of thing.
Yeah, kids often turn to their parents,
right.
don't they?
And that's what our example sentence is about. Emil turned to his parents when he lost his job and ran out of money.
So, he needed help, and those are the people that he went to. Those are the people that he turned to. All right, back in the article, it says, it takes a while to persuade Percy, but he finally agrees to drive them to the camp. So, it wasn't an easy thing to get Percy's help. They had to persuade him. This verb to persuade basically means to convince, to change a person's mind, to get them to do what you want them to do, usually through using words and good arguments by saying, come on, if you help us, we'll do this. Or, you know, we know you like us and you want to be friendly, so you'll do this, you know. So basically the person at first was like, nah, I don't really want to. But then you keep talking to them, you keep trying to find ideas that will change their mind. And if you do, well, you've persuaded that person. For example, we managed to persuade Erica to come to the movies with us.
Great.
At first, she was like, I don't have money, I'm too busy. But then we said, it'll be fun, and it's a really good movie, and we'll buy you a popcorn. And she's like, oh, okay. So we persuaded her.
All right. Well, that's all the time we've actually got to cover the first day of today's article. We're going to take a quick break right now and go to our For You chat. We'll be right back.
All right, our chat question is about paying back favors. It says, explain a situation in which you've asked someone for a favor and how you thank the person that helped you.
Well, I've actually done this quite a few times. If you go back to our example sentence, you might remember that I said I thanked some friends for helping me move by buying them pizza and beer.
Wow.
Pizza and drinks.
Right, pizza and drinks. Everyone likes a nice meal, especially after they've done a favor. What a great way to pay someone back. I'll help you move next time.
Okay.
Can I choose my pizza?
You can.
Awesome. Not Hawaiian.
No seafood either.
All right, if you make me eat Hawaiian, then you owe me a favor.
Okay.
All right, guys, that's it for us. But we'll be back with more about the Hidden Oracle today, tomorrow, I should say, and the day after. So come and join us for that. We'll see you then.
The Hidden Oracle. Apollo lands in a large dumpster with a crash. In a fog, Apollo looks around, trying to figure out where he is. The only thing he can remember is that his father Zeus is mad at him. For punishment, Zeus has made Apollo mortal and sent him to Earth as a teenage boy. Apollo looks around and finds his wallet. An ID card confirms his human identity, Lester Papadopoulos. Unfortunately, two thugs spot Apollo's wallet as well. As the thugs threaten Apollo, a girl named Meg McCaffrey throws fruit at them, scaring them off. It turns out that Meg is a demigod. She needs Apollo's help to get to Camp Half-Blood, a camp for demigods. In return for saving Apollo, Meg claims Apollo's service. Apollo now has to perform tasks for Meg until his debt is paid off. Apollo's first task is to get both of them to Camp Half-Blood. To do this, he turns to the demigod Percy Jackson for help. It takes a while to persuade Percy, but he finally agrees to drive them to the camp.
Vocabulary Review.
Crash. I heard a crash outside and went out to the street to see what had happened. Punishment. Henry's punishment for being naughty in class was to do even more homework. Identity. The police still don't know the thief's identity. They just know what he looks like. Unfortunately. We thank you for coming in to talk to us. But unfortunately, our company is not hiring right now. Threaten. The bank robbers threatened to shoot the police if they weren't allowed to leave with all the money. Persuade. The car dealer tried to persuade me to buy a used car at a high price.